Good morning, brothers and sisters. We're at a study in the Word, and we're actually starting a new study today. It'll be already got 30 pages of notes, so I know it'll be a little long one. I love it. It's like we just finished our study on in-depth study on love. We had 49 messages on that, and you don't get done with that because God is love. You never finish with it, and as He is, so are we in this world. So you never finish with the study on love. But we had to switch over. It was time. So this study is going to be on the living word.
The living word.
So that also is something you never get done studying. So Amen. We'll just take it, and when the Lord says we're done, we're done. Some of, as with all studies, there are certain things that overlap into other studies. If you want to be thorough, and I like to be in-depth on everything I do, if you're going to be in-depth on something, certain things are involved in everything you study. For instance, love is involved in everything because that is. We are. You know, love is. So everything is involved in one way or another. Love is involved in it. Well, the same way with the Word. The Word is involved in everything we do, everything we are. Even if we don't believe it, the Word's still functioning.
Amen.
So there's certain things that we're going to study over, or at least refer to, that will be throughout this study that was in our love study, because it's involved. And in order to understand it, you have to include it. This first section is one of my first messages in this series, is one of my favorites. And it's because everything has a beginning. And when you're studying love and you're studying the Word, you've got to go back to the beginning. Otherwise, you misunderstand it.
Mm-hmm.
You will not have a full, in-depth knowledge that we need on where it came from, what it is, how come it's living. So since we're studying the living Word, we got to start at the beginning, don't we?
Amen.
And that's not Genesis 1, by the way. It's John 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we start our study. And I think it's neat, because John was considered the apostle of love. So if you're studying the Word or you're studying love, who has the revelation on that? Paul had a deep revelation of love, but John's called the apostle of love, and there was a reason for that. So let's get started. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. We thank you for what lies ahead in this series that we're starting today. We thank you, Father, that you'll open the eyes of our understanding and our ears to hear and make our hearts sensitive to receive the Word. Even if we don't understand it or have a revelation at that moment, that Word will keep growing and living and abiding to the place, Father, where in its time it will bring forth the fruit of the revelation that you have for us in that moment. We thank you, Lord. You want to reveal yourself to us. And we thank you that you're doing just that. Father, we set our love upon you this morning, and we set our hearts to hear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So the title of the very first message in this series is, In the Beginning Was the Word. Now, we're going to start naturally in John 1. Like I said, and what I want you to do is to reach up, take a hold of your religious hat, get a hold of it, and then lift it up and set it over to the side.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it back on later, you can. But we're going to. You need to hear with spiritual ears in order to understand this. Otherwise, when we talk about the beginning, you'll run right back to Genesis 1. And we'll explain that in a moment. So we're going to start in John 1. The two foundation scriptures for our series is John 1, 1 through 5, and Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. We will not be studying Hebrews 4, 12 today or mentioning it, because the Word says that verse 12 says that the Word is living. The Word mm-hmm. of God is living there. We'll get to that further in our study, but we want to do an in-depth study on these. Now, John 1, 1 through 5 will come up further on into our series. We'll be referring to John 1, 1 through 5 again further into in our series. Okay, and I will be using the Amplified Classic here. If you got a New King James, that's real close. If you have a New King James, refer to it. It'll help you a little bit. John 1, 1 through 5, Amplified Classic Version. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it.
Amen.
That's the Amplified Classic Version. Now, that's a series in and of itself. And Eldon mentioned eternity. He was thinking about eternity this morning. Well, that's where we're going this morning. We're going to talk about eternity. Notice how this is worded, especially in the Amplified. In the beginning. Okay, well, being a word stopper like I am, and we all should be, the Bible talks about numerous beginnings. We had our own beginning when we got born. There's beginnings in time. There's all kinds of beginnings. So when you consider the beginning here, what is he talking about? Well, you got to look at the context of the rest of the verse for one thing. Even if the Amplified says before all time, which is what it's talking about. But if you leave the before all time out, it still says the same thing if you read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was present originally with God. So what beginning is he talking about? Leaving that particular, just the words in any version that you go, just those words, tells you that it is at the beginning. The beginning when there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anything else. That beginning. Now, Scripture teaches us that heaven, the things in heaven, the angels, Satan, the temples, all of that were created. They had a point of creation. When you talk about eternity, you can't talk about time. Mm-hmm. Now, in order for us to have reference points, we think in the context of beginning, a time frame and an end, a span. We think that way. But when you're talking about eternity, you can't think that way. Because eternity has no beginning and it has no end. It's eternal. So you can't use the same reference points that we do in time. You can't use those reference points. So you have to come up with some other reference point. Time has reference points. A beginning, a span, and an end. That end is where time will be brought back and absorbed back up into eternity, and time will not exist anymore. That's going to happen. The Word says it will. So, in the beginning, if you think about only being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Here, in the context of what we just read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was present originally with God. So what beginning are you talking about? You're talking about the beginning where God's the only thing existing. And from that point, you can't say time, you got to say point or something, other reference. We don't know when that was. There's no way we can't put time to it. We can't put a years to it because there's no years there. But there was a reference or a point when God created the angels, He created the temple, He created everything that you find in heaven listed in the Bible and Revelations and throughout Scripture. You'll find those had a creation point. Jesus did not. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it didn't have a beginning. God has no beginning. So the living Word, he was not called Jesus then. He was the Word, the Son. He had no beginning. He has no end. Now we can't wrap our minds around that. I have a hard time because I'm in time, and that's all I know is reference points. But when you think about eternity, and we are living in our eternity right now, if we are born again, we're never going to die again. Our spirit man will continue to exist. We're going to be in the eons, if there is such a thing. An eon would be time, wouldn't it? So you can't even use that. However, you can't even say however long eternity is because it has no end. But for a reference point of some kind, however long that is, we're going to exist. The Word is eternal. Jesus even said, it will never pass away. Mm-hmm. The Word is eternal, and that's why it's alive. It's alive. And that's what this series is going to be studying. But when you think of it, you can't use Genesis 1 for a beginning. Because everything that follows Genesis 1 is talking about creation in time.
Right.
There are two different beginnings. There's the beginning in John 1:1, which is before anything. Nothing. I can't wrap my mind around that, neither can you. But there was nothing but God. And love had to start going forth. It has to flow. So love started flowing out and he started creating. I don't know what's all in heaven. The Bible gives us just a little bit. Heaven is a place. It's part of eternity. It's not eternity itself. It exists in eternity. I don't know how long that was. I have no idea. I can't wrap my mind around it. But as God was creating, there was an event took place. Now Satan or Lucifer was part of that creation. And I told you earlier, take your religious hat off. Set it aside. You won't be able to wrap your mind around this. And you won't for some time to come. Whatever you don't understand, put it on a shelf and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you by revelation in time. Anyways, God's been busy pouring himself out in eternity. Creating an expand. If eternity can be expanded, he was expanding it. The problem with expanding eternity is eternity is God. God is eternity. We're in him. He is eternal. He is eternity itself. God is. Well, as he was expanding himself, then in that context, you get the image of God expanding himself, if that were possible. He's busy pouring out things in eternity. Along comes an event that should have never happened but did. The event was where Satan decided he was going to elevate himself above the throne of God. What happened? There was a war in eternity. The Bible talks about a war. Satan was an archangel. Michael was an archangel. And Gabriel was an archangel. All of the angels had divisions. Each one had a third of the angels that they were over. As far as we know, there were only three archangels, and whether he created one after Satan or not, we don't know. There was three archangels and Satan was one. When he decided he was going to rise up above God, what happened to him? That war took place. Satan was cast out. But if he was cast out, where was he cast? Now, at this point, not time, at this point, along eternal creation, there was no time yet. So, what was God going to do with this deceitful, rebellious angel, Satan, and those to follow him, the third? Now, this is Michael's rendition. It's a short little dish, and it's not the way it happened, but it's the imagery that makes sense to me. You got eternity flowing out from God. This event happens. God cuts a slice out, little box like that. Time. Where does he cast Satan? Into time. He was cast into time. We know that because he's limited to time. He has a certain space where he has authority here, which basically, I don't want to put a number to it, but people say 6,000 years, but it's probably more than that. Who knows? But time has a beginning and time has an end. Now, God starts creating everything in time. He fills everything God does, he fills. He fills with himself. So he's busy creating things in time. Now you've got Genesis 1. The moment he carved out time out of eternity, that was the beginning in Genesis 1. The spiritual beginning with God when there only was God, that's the beginning in John 1. Then the beginning in time, which is Genesis 1. And if you read Scripture and look at the context of it, you can see that easy. By the way that this is worded in John 1, 1 and 2, and by the fact that everything following Genesis 1 talks about the creation inside of time.
Right. That's where darkness came from.
That's where darkness came from, when Satan was cast in darkness. Because he is darkness. And I don't think, personally, and I don't want to get into scientific stuff, Mother loves this, but I don't. Anyways, there's really no difference between what science finds in creation, by timing things out and all of this, carbon dating and all of that. There's really no difference between that and what the Bible says.
Right.
It does not say how much time lapsed between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. 1-2. It doesn't say. It just says in the beginning. That could have been those millions of years it took before man was created. But when you get in the depths of this, you have to have some kind of a context.
I wonder if there were measurements for time at that time.
I don't think there was.
And still everything was eternal.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, when God cut it out, there was a range of time there because there's a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
Time has a beginning and an end. Eternity doesn't. What I see time as, I was thinking of this on the way over, I hadn't thought about it before. But you know when you get the police come along and they pick you up, they take you to what? A holding cell. You haven't been charged yet. The process has to go along. You're in a holding cell. But then there's a time when you get cast into the prison. Two different steps. What I see time as for Satan, his limited time, is like a holding cell for him. He can't go nowhere. He can't function in eternity. He can't. He's limited to time. He's a spiritual being with spiritual knowledge, but he functions only in the natural. That's all he can do. That's all. Witchcraft is natural. It's not.
It's carnal.
It's carnal. It has a spiritual force about it, but it's carnal. It's natural. It's limited to time. He's limited to time. He can't do anything outside of time. And his time is coming real quick to an end. That's why he's so visible. He's being squeezed like a tube of toothpaste. So he's more visible. He don't want to be visible. He functions better in darkness. But when he's squeezed into light, what happens to him? Light's shining on him. He's very visible.
He's absorbed.
He's absorbed. That's what darkness happens to darkness. So he don't like the light. But anyways, his time frame in this holding cell of time is limited. When time is over, where does he go? Mm-hmm. He's cast into the pit for 1,000 years. Then it says he has to come out for a short time. That's the final erasing of his presence. Then he's cast for eternity, no time, limit, unlimited duration. He cannot ever get out.
Amen.
He's going into the pit. And who's going to send him in, throw him in there? Michael. Michael cast him out of eternity into time. Michael's going to cast him into hell forever in eternity. We're going to see that.
Yep. Amen.
Because we're eternal too.
Yep.
But in order to understand the living word, you have to get some kind of a context of what time and eternity are. And where the word puts the word, puts Jesus. The word puts Jesus before anything.
Amen.
In time or eternity existed. Just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But then it comes along, and we'll get to this later too, but it says that everything was created through Jesus. The Holy Spirit and Jesus working together. And God the Father. Whether it's in eternity or whether it's in time. Everything in time is a copy of what's in eternity.
Yeah.
But it's a copy. It's not the reality. There's another concept that fascinates me. You cannot take God out of the equation. But if that ever happened, and it can't, there would be absolutely nothing. Now, just the same way you have trouble wrapping your head around eternity, you're going to have a hard time wrapping your head around nothing. Because there wouldn't be anything at all. Not even God. If God did not exist, there would be absolutely, totally, 100% nothing.
There wouldn't even be a place for nothing to stand on.
There wouldn't be anything. People say, well, that's like space. No, space is inside time. It was created. It has a substance. We can't identify the substance called space. We have no way of identifying it. But it exists. And because it exists, it was created. Anything inside this box of time has a substance. It exists. So even that wouldn't be there. I know I'm getting pretty deep, but I'm giving you some things to think, go home and think about. Okay? And if you don't like it, that's okay too. Doesn't change it.
It's very confusing. It's like,
you know?
This is the in the beginning, and then there's that in the beginning. It's like, why are we supposed to
There's two beginnings.
Yeah.
The one that is the beginning of everything, time and eternity. That's the one here in John 1. The other beginning is the beginning in time. When God, it had to have a beginning.
There's a time reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then mankind was created in that reference.
In that reference. Mm-hmm. In that box. Mm-hmm. Everything that we know is inside that box. Everything. Jesus had to come into the box. Because he's eternal. He had to leave his godly authority, everything that he is. He had to leave that there because he couldn't come into time with it. And then he had to be born into time. That's the only way in here. He was born into time. And then he was able to die as a man. And then he was able to link us back into him,
hallelujah,
into God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
When God created man, he put himself, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He breathed his own spirit, his own life into this body called Adam. He put himself inside of Adam, not inside himself, inside of time. He put himself inside of Adam who was in time.
Right.
And Adam and God walked together. They knew intimately each other. You couldn't tell the difference between the two if you were looking at them. That one. That's where he wants us. But when God, when Adam separated from God through the fall, same thing Satan did. He fell. He removed himself from God. That connection was no longer there. Now God had to get another way in here. And he said, right in the, at the fall, he said, there's one coming.
Mm-hmm.
He already had one coming. Praise God, his name was Jesus. And Satan knows that when God says anything, it's truth.
Amen.
Does he say that in Genesis, that there's one coming?
Yes.
You know where it is?
Yes, right at the fall in chapter 2, I believe. Might be in 3, but it's 2
yeah,
or 3.
I think it's in 3.
But God told Satan, he talks to Eve, he talks to Adam, he talks to Satan at the fall. And he tells Satan directly, there's one coming.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. What's that mean? He's under Jesus' foot.
That's right.
So that is an exact thing. God spoke it. It's going to happen. And it happened at the cross. That had to take place in order for God and us to become one again. Now, how did he become one with us? Again, just like with Adam, he put his own self inside of us.
Through the shed blood on Calvary's cross.
Man, that's shouting territory, isn't it?
We were reconciled back to the Father just as if we had never sinned.
Amen.
Just as if we've never sinned.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? We got to understand these little things. You think, what's that got to do with the living word? It's got everything to do with it. Because the living word came, and that's all in Genesis 1. He became flesh for us. That is so awesome. That's why you can't get done with a study like this, and I have to start here in order to get into the function of the living word. We're going to talk about it in healing. We're going to talk about it in whatever the word says it does. We're going to look at that. So it's going to take some time. So I've only got a couple sentences done so far. And I'm way ahead of myself. So again, I'm going to read that scripture again and listen to it with all of that I've talked about in your mind. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. Originally means he had no beginning. He was with God, and it says here, and the Word was God Himself. Later on, we're going to talk about God and the Word being one. It says it right there, and the Word was God Himself. If the Word was God Himself, then that means there's no division between them. When you see the Word, you see God. When you see the Word, you see Jesus. When you see the Word, you see the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when they're supposed to be, when you see them, you're supposed to see us. God wants us one with Him. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. He prayed that we may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they may be one, that the world may know. This is so awesome when you study this. So, there was a point before anything that was created in eternity or time existed that there was only God Himself, God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, and eternity. That's all that existed. Time was created. It has a beginning and an end. Eternity was not created. It has no beginning. And it has no end. Eternity is. God is not only the source of eternity, He is eternity itself.
Amen.
The living Word already existed, was already in existence before anything was created in eternity or time. Let's look at Colossians 1:17. Again, this is the Amplified Version. And He Himself existed before all things, and in Him all things consist, cohere, and are held together.
Now, what's that scripture reference?
Colossians 1:17, the Amplified Classic.
You should read 16, too.
Yeah, pardon?
16 also goes with that.
Well, go ahead and read it. I don't have it in my notes.
No. Well, this is the Amplified. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together.
I think I have that further down, but that needed to be
that
there.
Was 16 and 17.
Yeah, that needed to be there. So we see here.
Now the that was Colossians 3.
1.
Colossians 1:16
yeah.
and
17.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is so important for us, is what I was saying earlier. There was a point when there was only Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And here we see that all things exist because of him. They cohere. They exist. You withdraw the Word, nothing is. There's nothing. All Revelations 1:8, we see this again, and this is New King James Version. Revelations 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. He himself identifies himself as the beginning and the end. John 1:3, in all things were created by him, the Word. That's what we're going to go to now. John 1:3, Amplified Classic. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So John 1:2, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. John 1:3, all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that was made. All things, everything, in heaven, in eternity, and in time, all things were created by him. We need to be constantly aware that God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit are one. They never act independently. They have different responsibilities. Different things that they do that were there the forefront of what's taking place. The Holy Spirit has certain things that he does. The Word has certain things that he does. God oversees everything.
The Word became flesh.
Exactly.
That's when he left eternity and entered the box of time. Like I said earlier, he had to leave that by or he couldn't have come. He couldn't bring eternity into time. He couldn't bring it in. It wasn't time yet. So he had to come in with nothing but himself and no sin. Okay, we've got to constantly be aware that they are one. All that they do as one. They never do anything, no matter what it is, alone or separate from each other. They are absolutely one. Wherever you see the Holy Spirit functioning, God the Father and the Word's there. Wherever you see God, the Word working, the Holy Spirit and God are there. Anything you see God doing, the Word and the Holy Spirit are there. They function eternally as one. Romans 11:36, Amplified Classic. For from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
So be it. You notice how they read three different sections of Scripture, three different sections of the Bible. They all say the same thing. Hebrews 11:3. Go see another one here. Amplified Classic. I'm going a little fast because I'm out of time here. Hebrews 11:3, Amplified Classic. By him, or pardon me, by faith, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made of things which are visible. Things that we see were not made by things that are visible. They're made by spiritual forces, made by the word. But it's by faith. Now, I like the way the Amplified says that the worlds were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. The word did that. Every planet that out there is not just taking up space. It has a purpose. And it may not be met inside of time, but it will be met in eternity. Mm-hmm. It exists here. It's going to be brought into eternity at the end. There will be no more time. It has a limit. It has an end. When time ends, everything that is will be in eternity. Everything that's not eternal will pass away. Wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
We will exist in heaven or hell, one or the other. But we're eternal beings. Colossians 1:15, Amplified Classic. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, heaven or in eternity. Things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and through him, or for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together.
Yeah.
He also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent, for it pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him permanently. And God purposed that through, by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father, made peace by the means of the blood of his cross.
Man,
so you see, I've talked about the full circle numerous times over the years, about the full circle. God the Father and Adam walking together, they were one. His intention was it to be, what was his full intention when he created man, was it to be Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and man, one. And that's the way he walked with Adam. But then the fall came along. And now, all that God's been doing, everything he's been doing since then, is to bring man back to that place.
Amen.
God is a God of restoration.
He is a God of restoration. And if you, we'd only know it, that has already happened.
Amen.
When Jesus rose from the dead, he rose as fully God, fully man.
Amen.
He was a man.
Yep.
There's a man sitting beside God on his throne.
Amen.
It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man are one.
Amen.
We're one in Jesus.
And you know, it's so true that today, all of that, those personal thing you just spoke of lives in us.
In us.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Spirit live in us. Mm-hmm. We are one.
The kingdom of God.
Just the way God spoke it. The way Jesus prayed. This is what Jesus was praying. While he was a man, existing here as a man, he bowed his knee just before the cross and declared the intention of God, the purpose of God. If you really meditate and study on John 17, his high priestly prayer before the cross, you'll find the entire Bible there, the entire purpose of God. You'll see the entire ministry of Jesus there. You'll see all that is to come in the future in that prayer when he talked about us being one. That is so awesome, so full. And we miss so much by limiting God. But we're all, if you're born again, you're going to see that.
Amen.
Now I know that everything I've said is, it's just a speck. And I always open my heart. I try to be open-hearted, open-minded, so God can change those little things as we go and fine-tune. There's so much more that we don't know. But what I've talked about today is at least an insight. We should be meditating on these things all the time when we pray, thanking him that our limited existence here for just a short time is not all that is. There's so much more. So much more. And we can live in that now as we study.
In all things you give thanks.
All things. And that's why we give thanks, because when we do, we receive. One more verse and then I'll have to close. Ephesians 1:10, Amplified Classic. And again, there's before and after, but I'm just choosing this for this purpose. We'll get to the rest of it further in the study. Ephesians 1:10, Amplified Classic. He planned. Can you see God planning? Now, it takes us a long time to plan a project, me especially, because I want to know everything about it. But when God plans, it is. It doesn't take him long to know. But the Amplified says, he planned for the maturity of the times. Notice the way it says maturity of the times. God is not overlooking things. He's extending his mercy so that everyone that will come, will come. So that none will be left out that want to come. So he's extending his patient mercy till the last one. And he will know when that last one is. He'll know when the last one is that will receive him. He'll know that. And when that happens, that's the end. So he planned for the maturity, or the fullness, some translations say. He planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ. Both things in heaven and things on earth. He's bringing them all back. That's what Colossians said. Paul's saying it again here in Ephesians. Bringing it all back the way it's supposed to be. In his heart, it's already there.
God is a God of restoration.
Oh, he is. That's what that cross is about. He will stay with you to the millionth time and beyond that. I said last week during a sermon, God does not list, God does not look at how many times you fall. He knows you're going to do that. He looks at how many times you get up.
Amen.
And if you get up. And he'll either reach down to help you up, but you got to take his hand. It's your choice. He is more interested in our getting up than in our falling. We spend all of our time remembering the falls instead of looking at his mercy and his outstretched hand to help us up. We know we're going to fall. We know we are. We're living in a nasty fallen world. And it's getting darker and darker, but it's also getting lighter and lighter.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a clear division line between darkness and light that can easily be seen now. And we can't concentrate on what was except to learn from it. We cannot afford to live in our past.
Amen.
We can't afford that anymore. Time's too short. We have to drop it like we would a hot potato. We got to, scriptures I read last week says to discard it or kick it out of the way. To not go there anymore.
What just flows in my spirit, brother, all the time is, it's a new day.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
A new day. We have to concentrate on our now moment and live that new day.
Amen.
That's when we will enter into our eternity walking in this life.
Hallelujah.
Satan wants us to concentrate on what we did. Because as long as we're remembering what was, we cannot change our now. We cannot fully live in our now. If we'll live in our now, it'll become our future. But if we live in our past now, guess what's waiting for us in the future? The same mess we were in before. And we can't blame God. God, please get me out of this. Help me. He did. And he is. But I have to stay in my now.
Amen.
I can't bring my past in. I can give glory to God for the good. And I can give glory to God for the bad that I've overcome through him. But I don't concentrate on what I did wrong or what somebody did to me. That's totally irrelevant now.
You know, brother, I get up every morning and I read in my devotion and I say, this is the day that the Lord
he made it for me.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Eldon Gorham.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, to take joy in the day he gave us.
Yeah.
Not to regret another life, another day. I got more drudgery. No. Take joy in what he gave us.
Amen.
We always pray together at breakfast about the treasure of the day.
Amen.
Because it is a treasure. No matter what it holds.
Precious gift.
Amen. I got to close there. So, Father, we so much thank you for this message you've given us today. I know it's different for some people. They maybe haven't heard it before. But Lord, I ask that they consider it. That they search your scriptures and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to them. To reveal your loving kindness, your tender mercy, your grace. To see beyond our religious doctrinal teachings and to see the heart of God. To have our eyes and our hearts in tune with you, sir. That we can know you. That we can know your ways. Because you said in your word that you're teaching us. You're revealing it to us. You want to reveal to us your ways. We're so thankful for that, Father. We're thankful for this day and the treasure that it is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.